We appreciate you, dear God. What a mighty God we serve. How we count it a blessed opportunity, blessed privilege, dear God, to be in your house, to be in your presence. You're such a wonderful God to serve, to know that the love that you have loved us with, you care for us, you interest in our needs. You shed your blood, dear God. You made a way for us to come into your presence. You give us such exceedingly great and precious promises by a sworn oath. You put an end of all strife in our minds. You give us peace. You anchored our soul, a hope steadfast and sure, that we could come with confidence. We could ask anything in your name. Hallelujah. Glory and praise be unto your mighty name tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the redeemed that is here tonight. We thank you for your shed blood that is sprinkled upon your people to loose them from their sins, to make them a royal priesthood, that they can come continually offering the fruits of their lips, giving praise and thanks unto you, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice, oh, to worship you. To worship you, my soul rejoice. Oh, take joy, my King. Joy, my King. In what you hear, why don't you sing it? Let it be a sweet song in his ear tonight. Tell him you love him once more. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift every voice to him. Lift my voice. Oh, and worship him in spirit. Joy, my King, tonight. In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Yeah. Oh, everyone around the building, lift our hands. Get in the spirit and worship God. Just praise him tonight. We have many people here in need tonight, and God, you just come right down and supply that need tonight. The Holy Spirit, you just move across this building. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We have a little prayer request here. Prayer is requested for Brother Terrence Brown, requesting prayer for general weakness and headaches and loss of vision. Is he here tonight? Is his brother here tonight? You come forward, we can pray with him. Amen. How many have a special need tonight, something urgent? I know you've been praying, you've been putting these things in the hands of God, not those things that you might have committed to Him and left in His care, but if you have something that you just need an immediate touch tonight, something that you come expecting to receive it before you go back home, and you just want that touch from God, amen. Let's just bow our heads as we...
Thank you, Jesus.
Let us believe Him tonight and just be united around this building. Knowing without faith is impossible to please God. But if two shall agree as upon touching anything, it shall be done. But when you stand praying, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it unto you. Let us place our faith right there tonight upon His unfailing words of promise. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone that is in need, you just link right up now, and knowing that when He said it was finished in Calvary, it was finished. But that His Holy Spirit that is present where two or three is gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. The same God who shed His blood and died to pay the price for these things, who gave the promise, who's come back where His people are gathered in His name, is here to minister the blessing to everyone that is in need. And if the church would agree and humble itself, look to heaven expecting us to pray, something good is going to happen. God is faithful. He is true to every promise. If you abide in my word and my word abide in you, ask what you will. Knowing the true confession and faith, we are subject to every power of God. All that we have need of tonight. It don't lie in a man, it lies in the Holy Spirit. And He gave a promise, and it's impossible for God to lie. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bow our hearts in your great presence, knowing that you said, cast our cares upon you because you care for us. You gave us such an access to be able to come into your great mighty presence. You've done a work on our behalf that was so complete and so all-sufficient that nothing could be added to it and nothing could be taken away from it. And when you rose triumphantly, dear God, and said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto you, that we, Lord God, could ask anything in your name and it would be granted unto us, you made secure every blessing that you achieved on Calvary. And dear God, knowing that when we have need, we can come right before your great throne of grace with boldness. We can come with our faith, dear God, anchored upon what you have done for us. We can remember your promise, dear God, and plead that promise before your great throne of grace. Yes. And watch the Holy Spirit come down and take that promise and interpret it and make it manifest and prove that it is impossible for you to lie, that you're not guilty of a breach of promise. That the promises of God are yea and amen, and that you keep every one of them. And oh God, if your people would confess that you are able to do these things, you are the high priest, you can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, and you stand ready, oh God, to intercede upon our confession of what we say you can do for us. And so, Lord God, as your servant, I lay my hand upon this young man, Lord, tiredness, weakness, loss of vision, dear God. Lord God, knowing this church is united with me, praying on his behalf tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that your great mighty power would move upon him, dear God. You would give him the strength that he needs, dear God. May what he's lacking, oh God, you supply even now. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you endue him with that measure, Father. May you supply that need. May you raise him up from this condition. And may be well, oh God, and may this condition leave him for the glory of God. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And yet, God, these around the building who lifted their hands, there is a need tonight, Father. Oh, we the church of the living God, standing clothed in your righteousness, believing in your promise, confessing, oh God, that you are a great, mighty God. Only you can do these things.
and you promised to do it, Lord. I pray your grace and mercy will reach out to them tonight. And Lord God, you supply that need. They would leave this place rejoicing with the assurance, with the witness, with the confirmation, dear God, that you saw that faith in their heart. And dear God, you responded to that faith. And where that faith is insufficient, may the Holy Spirit, Lord, give them that faith to believe that it is finished, as you have said it is finished on Calvary's cross. Grant it, Lord, and may they receive what they have need of. We thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And could we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise his wonderful name. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise. You believe God is faithful tonight? You believe he can be trusted tonight? You believe that the things that you prayed for, the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Make your petition known unto him. He will supply our every need according to his riches and glory. Ask anything in my name. There is nothing too hard for him tonight. You believe that? Amen. To know that if you ask for bread, you would not get a stone. He says, keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Is that right? To know that you stand there believing these things, confessing it, not just wondering if you'll do it, not just kind of muttering it, but looking and seeing how perfect a promise he has given, a perfect promise by a perfect God who even comes and gives the people the faith to believe it, who even reveals to them that he is more than able to do it, who reveals to them that he's interested in us, amen, to supply that need according to his riches, to know that there is no situation you could be going through tonight that God doesn't know about, that was not under his divine consideration. You believe that God knew about it when he was on Calvary's cross? You think that anything escaped when he died there and he said it's finished, that maybe that little thing wasn't under the blood? You believe it was taken care of? Then you have to confess it. Lord, I believe you are able to do it. I receive it. I thank you for it. Oh, what a God. What a promise. Amen. What a place you give us to anchor our faith. Hallelujah. That's the kind of place a believer stands in. That's the attitude of approach. When a believer comes in the presence of Almighty God. If you come in my presence, I'm a feeble man. I can't even give you nothing. If you ask for something more than the money I have in my pocket tonight, you'll go away disappointed. Amen. But you come in the presence of God. He's a creator. He can create it and put it there. Amen. Full pressed on and running over. He can perform a paradox and change it. Because he's God. And there's nothing that's impossible with him. And I'm only a signpost. Signposts are still good. It's still useful. Signposts point you where you're going. Amen. It tells you, look, the thing you're looking for is here. It's just right in this vicinity. That's all. I'm not the God. I'm just a signpost. I'm just one standing close saying, he is here. I'm one just to remind you what he said in his word. And when you come in, you kind of forget that God said that. And you kind of forget that. And you kind of hoping that maybe I do it for you. And then you remind that I'm just in need just like you. And we all depending upon him. And if we can do anything for each other, it is not us who do it. It is him who did it to you through a person. Because he's the vine and we are the branches. You believe it that way? It's the way you believe it. You have to know how to believe it. You have to know in your mind how to conceive it. What kind of conception you have. You have the wrong conception, you're going to relate it wrong. You have the right conception, you're going to relate it right. When you relate it right, he's going to respond right. Is that right? That woman was right in his presence. She could touch him right there. She was hollering, Jesus, thou son of David, and yet couldn't get it. You could be so close to him. You could be right in his presence. That's a great privilege to be in his presence. But still, that don't give it. But when you know how to approach him, you could get a hold of it tonight. Amen. I want you to say, Lord, he says, for this same. He responded. Is that right? He responded for this same. That makes all the difference, friends. Sometimes we worry. Sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we go on how we feel tonight. You mightn't feel up to it tonight, but God is up to it every moment of the day. You know why? If God is not up to it, then he died in vain. And because he knew he was going to be up to it every moment of the day, whether it rains or don't rain. Whether you feel down or you feel up. When you feel down, it don't make God down, you know. When you feel down, just the devil take your eyes that God is up. And when God puts your eyes back on himself, that he is up, and you realize the devil tried to come in there to obscure your vision, then everything is all right. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know it's thus saith the Lord. Let's just sing that tonight and sing it unto him tonight. Sing it. We're still talking to him. We're just standing on our feet now, and I'm just trying now to stimulate some faith in your heart that you wouldn't unplug from him and get plugged into me. You just keep plugging to him and you just turn the dial up a little more. Amen. Let the faith thermometer go up a little higher by God's grace. And then maybe if you pray all night, you didn't hit this spot. You're going to hit this spot right now. Just to help your faith come up to the place that you can receive all those things. Every negative thing can go away. And then you realize you're in the presence of Almighty God who is close to you. He's right here tonight. Amen. He promised to be. It is so sweet. So sweet to trust. Oh, nothing sweeter tonight. Just to take him at his word. Oh, just to rest tonight. Not worry, rest. To rest upon his promise. Oh, just to know. To know it. It's thus saith the Lord. Oh, and everyone's singing out. Jesus, how I trust. How I prove him all and all. Jesus, Jesus, precious. Oh, for grace tonight. Everyone there's a need. Let him pour that grace down into your heart. Your faith could make an attack. Oh, how sweet tonight. Hallelujah. To trust in Jesus. Oh, just to trust his cleansing flow. That precious, precious blood tonight. That fountain is open. Oh, just in simple faith tonight. Just release that faith tonight. Just trust him. Let him plunge you in that fountain. Need a healing flesh. Oh, let this sister sing it now. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how I trust him tonight. Believe him. Believe him for what you have need of tonight. Let him immerse his soul in that fountain of blood. Let him break up all unbelief tonight. Oh, what a precious, precious Jesus. Just for grace to trust him all. Where there's no doubt, no fear, no wondering. Complete confidence in him. Oh, and everyone, yes, to sweet. Yes, sweet. Sin and self decease. Let's humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let's cast our pride and all self, amen. Just some Jesus, simply take him. Take all life and rest. Hallelujah. Joy and peace tonight. Oh, come on, brothers, everyone now. Just Jesus, how I've trusted him, how I've proved him. Come to these years, amen. He's faithful every time. Still the same tonight. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace tonight. To see that part of tonight. Oh, let's lift our hands now. I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. So glad I've learned, oh, to trust him, to believe him, to put our confidence in him. Just save your friend. Not even tonight. He's right here with us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, I'm with you always, even to the end. In speaking distance tonight, in hearing distance, but it takes faith to contact him. Take faith to move him. Hallelujah. To work ourselves up into, just for grace and faith to sweep down into your heart tonight. Oh, and once more, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I've trusted, how I've proved him all and all. To draw from your experiences in the past, he's still that same God, as great as he ever was tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust. Oh, once more, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ah, confess it tonight. Trust him. Believe him tonight. Cast down your worry, cast down your fear, your tension, your nervousness. Hallelujah! Just tell him how great he is. Remind yourself tonight. Hallelujah, how faithful he is. Pray, oh, for grace. For grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, for grace to trust you more, to believe you more, to surrender more, to let go more, Lord, to depend upon you more, to rely upon you more. Oh, God, to look away from self, to look away from human ability, oh, God, to look away from man and rely upon God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory and praise be unto your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Thank you, Lord. That makes all the difference. Who could Abraham trust when he's going up in the mountain? Could he trust Sarah? Could he trust Isaac? Could he trust his servants who was with him? Could he trust the priests in the community? He had to trust God, friend. God is able to provide for himself his sacrifice. Who could Moses look to? All that he lacked. He was a leader of men. He's a great, mighty general in Egypt. Taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. But at the burning bush, he knew nothing. One dead, rotten, stinking Egyptian was all his success for 40 years. All the learning. It amounted to nothing. How he might have admired himself. How people might have admired him. But in the presence of God, he was nothing. Think of it. But God could make somebody out of nobody. God could do something in 5 minutes. He could teach Moses the lesson of his life. And Moses said, Lord, if you don't go up with me, I won't go. That's the place God wants each and every one of us, friends. That's the walk. That's the message of the hour. Not this church, not this building, not me, not some brother. We are glad for all of that. But it don't lie in that. It lies in this word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, gaining more power than I ever dreamed. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. Who they had faith in? Could faith rest in the arm of flesh? It was faith in the God who had given that faith. Who had given the capacity to believe. By faith, Abraham. Where did he get it from? From somebody? We read of the great things that was wrought through Abraham. Was it in Abraham? It was God, friends. Abraham found the source that God is able to perform what he had spoken. He listened to Sarah. He ended up with Ishmael. He ran from the Pharaoh. He lied in fear to Abimelech. Everything else. It was God that made the difference. God's election. God's grace. It's God who taught Abraham what kind of covenant. I swear by myself. I will make of you. The secret was in God. Not by might or by power, but by my spirit. If you don't glorify God in the end, it's wrong. If man tried to get the glory, they never met that God. It will fall to the ground. It'll end up in shame and disappointment and embarrassment. But where man sees that God, he sees he's nothing. Amen. Learning to lean. To know that the flesh profiteth nothing, but the spirit giveth life. Amen. I'm learning to lean. You love him tonight? You want to walk close with him? I want to give you something greater than coming to this church tonight. I want to point you to something that is far beyond coming up to Londonville on Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays. I want to point you to something that when this place turns back to ashes, there'll be something so real still. Something that before this church will be after this church. Praise his wonderful name. And that same one is right here tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ. The power that you lack tonight, that you kind of wait in church and maybe think, is it brother? You know, that you can't get into the power, or this sister, or yourself, you can't get into the power, or the preacher, you can't get into the power, or the deacon, you can't overcome. No. You just need to surrender to God a little more. Through me, you can do all things who strengthened you. You believe that tonight? It's the way you think about it. It's the way you relate to it. The human flesh like to put blame on people, like to feel justified, like to come up with reasonable excuses why this and why that and why the other. But when you get in the presence of God, it all fades away. If a man is surrendered to God, he's omnipotent. I'm learning to lean. I'm gaining more power than I ever dreamed. Power to pray, power to witness, power to testify, power to live, power to resist the devil, power to help your brother and your sister. Not by might, not your power, God's power working through you. Wonder working power. Power to have to murmur and complain. Power to cast down reason and imagination. Power to pull down every stronghold, every height that exalts itself above the word of God. Power to overcome the power that is trying to strangle your faith and put doubt in your mind. I'm gaining more power. This message is full of power because this message releases God's own life to us. Like the blood released the life when it was broken. So this message, when the seal was broken, it released a life to come back and anoint the church. That's what it's all about, friends. You miss that, you miss the whole message. You miss that, you see Brother Vin and them, you see London Vale, you see to the Exodus Assembly, you see this brother and you see this sister, and you end right back up in denomination. Make the whole cycle. But you see, the word is eternal, can never end. It will grow sweeter every day. Learning to lean. Let's just worship him in that song tonight. I'm learning. I could never stop learning. Learn. Ask him to teach you tonight. He's teaching. And you are learning tonight. In God's great university, he wants to give you a diploma. He wants you to graduate with honors. He want to put you in Hebrews 11, a continuation.
on Jesus.
Oh, get in more power.
Yeah.
Just let your faith rise up tonight. Every sickness have to move back. Every oppression have to move back. Every doubt can be cast down right now. I'm learning to lean. Learn to lean on Jesus.
If you want him to teach you how to do, lift your hand to him. Say, I'm gonna learn, Lord, learning to lean.
Make me a student, Lord. You're my teacher. You're my guide. Bring me to a faith that I've never known.
Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Faith to live by the faith of the Son of God.
Truly on Jesus.
No more murmuring, no more complaint, no more frustrations. No more despair.
Gaining more power.
I have a dream.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm learning to lean. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I don't want to lean on the arm of flesh. I want to lean on this infallible word, to lean on Jesus Christ. Once more, everybody, all around the building. Oh, I'm learning to lean tonight.
Learning to lead.
Oh, he's teaching me and I'm learning tonight.
I'm learning to lead.
He's making me an overcomer.
I'm learning.
So I can walk in victory. I can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Oh, gaining more power.
Yeah. Oh, strengthen your children, Lord. Pour that faith tonight, Jesus. Lift them up in a high realm, oh God, a high bracket of faith. That perfect raptured faith. Where they can see what you have made them in Jesus Christ.
I'm learning.
Faith that will not stagger through unbelief. But we believe it in hope against hope, strong in faith, giving praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Father, how we thank you tonight. How we thank you for this great grace that you have given unto us, that we can live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, God, we don't have to live defeated. We don't have to live wondering if you love us. We don't have to live wondering if we can be led by the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh God, now are we the sons of God? Now we shall be. Now we are. What manner of love that you have bestowed upon us, that because we are sons, you have sent the Spirit into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, God, as we approach a great mighty presence, we come praying, Our Father, Abba Father. Lord, we have relationship with you. We have identification with you. We are your genes, your express attribute that came from your loins, Lord. You shed your blood to redeem us. Send your Spirit to claim us, bring us back into fellowship, into relationship. But know, dear God, that the standing we have tonight, that we stand in your great mighty presence. There's nothing, oh God, that we have need of, that you have not supplied, that you're not willing to give tonight. We confess that. We acknowledge that in your presence. Oh God, may we break through every veil and see you standing here, the mighty conqueror, unconquered tonight by traditions, standing in plain view. Isn't that why you take the seals off of yourself, Lord? Isn't that why you open the book? Not just to give us some little understanding, to bring us out of an organization. Many came out but never went into the promise. But Lord, that you might bring us in after you brought us out. That we could enter into your rest and see some of our own works as you did from yours. We can live by the faith of the Son of God. And so, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon your children. Such quickening power, such faith. Faith that you have given to us through this message of the hour, through the opening of the seven seals. Faith, dear God, that have made you so personalized, brought you into plain view before us, that we can know in whom we believe in, and know that he's able to keep that which you commit unto him even against that day. Gracious God, how we pray tonight that you would just have your own blessed way. We thank you, Lord, to be back here among the people. Lord, to come into prayer service tonight, to join hearts and offer our prayer unto you, our thanksgiving, express our gratitude, to give praise and glory unto you for the great mighty things that you have done, to bless your holy name. Oh, God, this is why you call us, we might worship you in spirit and truth. You said, hurt not the oil and the wine, the Father seeketh such as to worship you. We might worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. May we ever be that, Father. That by our living we can bring glory and honor to your great mighty name. We thank you for all that is here. Thank you for every brother and sister come standing at the post of duty tonight. Every worshiper. Everyone that is speckled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Who have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. Oh God, who have been loose. Who have been made perfect as pertaining to conscience. Who have been brought into a perfect faith through a perfect sacrifice. That they can stand, oh God, have a perfect standing in your great presence. Lord, we thank you. May we never lose sight of what you have done, what you have given, Father. May our realization of this grow greater and greater. That, Lord, every negative thing could be obliterated completely. Every molecule of sin could be so completely broken up. We could stand, Father, in our perfect liberty in all that you have given, Father. Oh, God, we'll never live under privilege. We'll never live short of what you have given in Christ. This is the victory, Lord. We might live in these things. This is why you open up the book and open the seven seals. This is what seven thunders utter the voices to achieve, to literally turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers, that our faith might be perfected, oh God, and be made complete, be made a perfect faith in a perfect God who did a perfect work, who achieved perfect promises, who is causing us to live in perfect victory in this hour. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Have your blessed way for remaining part of this service. And may you get glory into your great mighty name. May every prayer that was offered up to you tonight, may it be answered, Lord. May there not be one that would leave this place discouraged, but encouraged to know, dear God, that you are more than able. Father, if you are not able, what are we doing here? If you are not able, who can we go to? But you are more than able to accomplish what concerns us today, to handle anything that comes our way, Father. Blessed be the rock of our salvation. You set us upon a rock that we shall not be moved. You didn't stuck us in your plant to us by the rivers of water, that we can bring forth our fruit in due season, that our leaves shall not wither. So we thank and we praise you tonight. Blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name. Just a little scripture before we go. I'm just wanting to see if my mind, I have my mind together to be able to talk to you a little bit. You know, you try to come to the pulpit so you could see me and see I come back, but to talk to you is the next thing, to hold my talk. And I guess, you know, you haven't made the kind of distances and the wear and tear and the different among the hours, and after a while you get disoriented. Genesis 1, Isaiah 60, just a little scripture reading tonight. But nevertheless, I'm glad to see all of you. I'm really happy and bring you love and greetings from all the saints in Canada and so many different ministers from around the world, and then the saints up in Norway and Sweden, Denmark, Germany, different places that send their love and the greetings to you. God will bless you, and people that pray for you out there, people that pray for this church, people that
is encouraged by our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and consider us to be part of the heavenly Jerusalem, spirits of judgment made perfect, part of the purchase of the blood of Jesus Christ. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. There was a condition. God moved. God spoke in relation to the condition. He didn't just speak anything. He spoke in relation to the condition. And when he finished spoke, what he spoke was manifested and the condition ceased to exist. Simple move of the Spirit of God, simple words spoken can change a situation. Amen. The Bible opens with that kind of, the first time you get a glimpse of God, you get a glimpse of God in action. You don't get a God sitting down there with his hand in his tummy like the writer taught while he's letting all the people die and they martyr them. You get a God who is moving in deliverance, who is moving in transforming power, who is moving to break the whole of darkness along his attribute. You get a glimpse of a God who is interested in changing the situation, the condition of anything that he has ordained for a purpose, and anything that is hindering that from coming to his purpose, you get a glimpse of that kind of God. And that God introduces himself to you that way and do not cease to unfold himself in any other way. If you see it any other way, you misunderstand the Bible. Your mind gets jammed somewhere. That's how he comes in and how he ends. Behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. You see him moving always. That's how we see God and that's how we think of him. You try to relate to God in another way that he presented himself in the word to you, you'll never have the victory, because he presented himself in that light to you that you might know him in that way, because that's how he wants you to relate to him. If he don't make himself known to you, you wouldn't know him. But when he makes himself known to you, it's how he determined that you should relate to him. Amen? And Isaiah 60. Verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Just like the earth needed that light, and the earth light came when God spoke. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. May God bless the reading of his word. You may have a seat. Well, I guess the saints who came back from Canada, they testified to you. I was looking back on the video at some of the saints giving the testimony, and they certainly not only was able representatives, but they come back like true reporters. Amen. Amen. Giving you a true report. Amen. Amen. And you know, it was really a great blessing to be out with them and to. Not always Mama Eagle get a chance to take the eaglets out of the nest. But you know, if you study eagle life and you understand eagle life, that's a normal principle, a normal pattern in eagle life, that she don't just hatch them out. She don't just bring them into existence. But she also takes them out of the nest, and she also gives them experience and teach them to fly and help them to discover their own potential and be able to see what they possess and how it can be used. And so I believe it was a good exposure. The whole purpose behind the trip was for exposure. Many things happen along the way. There's many things that would be considered highlights, many things that would be enjoyable. But before we leave, when they talk conceived in the mind, and when we return and we are back here, and
the memory of what transpired is in the mind, and it's all history. And the last time we were here, we were talking about helping the saints go, and now we are here, and we have gone, and we've come back, and you know, you studied the astronauts that take off from Cape Kennedy many times, and they go out there, and the thing is not just to go up and come back. You know, is many times they go out to do things, they go out to launch a satellite, they go out to study experiments in that kind of atmosphere, how things is going to, what kind of pattern it's going to have, what kind of behavioral pattern, whether it could survive out there, whether people could stand the pressure in outer space, whether the new space suits they're inventing, whether the equipment that they work, they develop could function out there. And under that kind of atmosphere, under those kind of conditions, sometimes you develop something in a laboratory, but you try to create an atmosphere similar to outer space, hoping it might be proved worthy when it's tested, but you could only really truly know when it's be used in the place where it is intended to be used, and for the purpose it was designed to be used. And so, you know, you go out like that, and if when you come back, you say, but hey, you know, we forget to use the thing, we forget to try out the thing, then it will just arrive. But when it goes and you try out the experiment, you gauge the effectiveness of the experiment, you kind of see what can be, you know, modified, what need remodifying, or what need a different, need maybe going back to the laboratory and, you know, change some parts. Then you get to understand these things when you have this test. It's always important. That's what Jesus did when Jesus took the apostles with him and he walked them through different places and he showed them, hey, watch how this man pray, because their prayer was going to be able to cast demons out of people, take people out of the dead, take people out of wheelchairs. So he had to really teach them about prayer. Prayer wasn't just a thing to talk to God and kind of feel religious. Prayer was a weapon he's going to put into their hand, praise, where they like beaten in the box and everything else and shut up in a dungeon, falsely accused, but are held in prison, and he was going to teach them praise. Wasn't a thing that happens. He's going to say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're going to find out when you're in prison, shut up and beaten and falsely accused, praise could bring you out. Amen. You don't need a key for the prison door. You don't need to pay a bribe to the prison officer. You don't need maybe to get a lawyer to stand your, or somebody to stand your bail and different things. You just need to know the praise of God. So sometimes something don't seem to be of the value and the quality and the measure that it can be to you if it's not being used in the place and for the purpose that God intends these things to be used. Until you get that exposure, until you are placed under the type of conditions, you will never know exactly what it is that you have gotten a hold of. And that is why sometimes people can look at something and have no value to them until the circumstance do rise when that is needed to be used. When you travel in the plane, they tell you have a life vest under your seat. They demonstrate you how to put it on in case of emergency. Should the plane have to come down in the water, what to do? Don't inflate it while you're in the plane, in the aircraft, because it's going to be that big around you. You'll be unable to move quickly. Everybody having on the life vest, it will cause confusion. They'll be able to move around and have maneuverability within the limited space in the aircraft. They tell you where they shoot it. They tell you, note the exits. Sometimes it means nothing to you until you're in the emergency. If the plane have to hit that water immediately and you didn't think where the life vest was, you were more interested in your meals, what they're serving, you know, the meal too small or the seat too hard, and you wasn't paying interest in where the life vest was, you could find yourself just a few seconds with death facing you and the very thing to save you and could take you out. You have it right there and you don't know how to use it. So it's good that when you have the experience and God give us things and we need to know the value of it and to be able to put it into use when it is necessary to be used. Joshua couldn't go around stopping the sun every day to try out stopping the sun. But when he needed, in a time of crisis, some light, he had something to say, sun, stand still, and moon, hold your place. Amen. To finish the battle. Moses, the Red Sea, didn't have to go try opening up every river you meet. But just when he needed that to get the people over to escape debt that was breathing down their necks, to take them back in bondage, it could go into effect. And so sometimes we have things and we like to use it. You know, sometimes curiosity can want to make you take the life vest out and inflate it just to make sure it's working if your mind, you know, thinks that way. But then sometimes you accept, well, all these things are checked. It's right there. One is under your seat. Everything's all right. You just trust you don't have to use it. But in case you have to use it, it's usable when the time comes. And so in natural life, natural endeavors, you are trained with training. You have been given equipment. You put these things to use and you use it effectively. And it can save lives. It can achieve a great lot. And so in spiritual life, it's the same way. God equip people. God develop the equipment in them. God create conditions, give them the type of exposure to use this equipment, that they can see and learn how to use it. And then it can be used in service. And sometimes, you know, you have little exposure, little use of great things that you possess, that sometimes you desire to see it be used more. And then even though with great things, you go out there like Moses with power, and you use the power to bring the water from the rock, and it displeased God. Elijah used the power, and the boys with the she-bears, and the children, and the she-bears ate them up, and it displeased God. So sometimes people have the equipment, can use the equipment wrongfully with the wrong motive and the wrong objective, and it don't be a blessing. Yet God still let the thing come. Yet people, a thirsty man say, I really enjoy that water, boy. Woo! It saved my life. Brother, you saved my life with that water. Yeah, but then when God pull him aside and say, do that in self, I still make it a blessing, but it's wrong. That is different. The servant with the equipment, when you enter into spiritual life, is deeper than attracting attention, is deeper than impressing people, is deeper than getting accolades. When you experience at the cross, burn ambition and these things out to you, and then you begin to walk with God, and you begin to find God faithful to reveal and take you deeper after he sees you've come to a place where your only objective and motive is to glorify him and to use in the way and the manner what he has given you, then that does something for you. And that is why servants are prepared. A church has been prepared. A bride has been made ready. The marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife had made herself ready. And they who were ready went in with the bridegroom, the Bible says. And the message came for preparation. And that is why there's a consciousness, there's an area of realization that we come into as believers, that we understand Christianity in another realm. Church is nice, friends are nice, people are nice. Service can be wonderful, but service is greater when it's accepted by God. The real service is what is accepted by God. Service for my servant is to please the master. And you say, we are unprofitable servants. And when you have done, you say, is there anything else, Lord, that you see need to be done? After you have served him in the field, and you serve him in the house, and then you serve the master, and then finally, when there's nothing more to be done, then you think about serving yourself. It's a great life, friends, to serve the Lord, to be used in the service of the Lord in whatever way. Service, cleaning the restrooms, is no less considered if that is the place where you're called to serve and that service is required by a master than going and preach to 5,000 somewhere. Because you could go and do that outside the will of God, and somebody faithfully can stay at the place of duty in the will of God. In the end, that is going to amount more. Many times we can get impressed. Minister go out and the minister preach and the people find the minister boy and this and that. And you could come back and stuff church, you could feel important. But how these things don't take away sin in your life. These things don't bring you to a place, you know, that where you can find God's favor. And which is really more important to you? To see no sin in your life? To have God's favor? Or to have a great name? Or to have a lot of people pat you on the back? Or a lot of people think you're important? To me, always to have God's favor. To be in God's presence. For God to take away the sin out of your life. Be always greater than, when I say sin, I don't mean like immoral things. I mean sin that dwelleth in all of us. That where we can't give God what God deserves. Where half the time we're struggling to come out of the sin to serve God. And before we can do anything for God, we spend the whole year fighting up with the sin, fighting up with the condemnation, fighting up with the doubt, fighting up with the worry. And we haven't done nothing for God yet because we get taken up in self for a whole year. That's what I'm talking about. Because service to God do not mean coming to service. Just like I said, fellowship do not mean I have fellowship here or I have fellowship here. Fellowship with God is communion with God. Is leadership of God in your life. It is relationship with God. And then when a person have that in their own life, is important. These are the things that are important to me. And you know me down through these years, great things happen always. You're in the bride, great things are going to happen. And sometimes, you know, testimonies encourage us and edifies us. But then always you want to make sure we understand things right. And you want to understand it the way, because when God do bless you too, you want to know how to relate to it yourself. You see, because the thing is, in the end, we'll have to still be the little boy with the violin looking up in the balcony to see what the teacher thinks, not the whole congregation applauding. They don't read the sheet. He knows the sheet. He knows the instructions he gives us. He knows how he tells us to behave when we get there. He knows what he has to deal with us in private about. The people doesn't know. God knows these things. And next time if we have to use us, it wouldn't be based on congregational response. It will be based on faithfulness to him. You see, in saying this, you could understand how we think. What it means to you. And what I could say is that God have given good experience to some of those who went out. They give their side, and they say, I will give my side when I come. And they know my side, you know, would be some of the things that they wouldn't say. And but I think that, you know, they are a fine bunch of saints, and experience is absolutely necessary for anyone to really find settled peace in the heart to see if they've believed that they're called to serve God in a certain capacity. Because you want to see that calling confirmed. You want to see it in an environment where you don't have much to depend on. You just have the resources, your training, your experience, your exposure, your revelation to draw on. And you know sometimes when you're missing and people think you're hitting because of the standard they have outside. And then you know, yeah, that was good, that was great, but that was me 50% and 50% God. And then that was not me at all, that was just God. And that's why sometimes, you know, we as preachers who preach, we preach the worst we ever preach in our lives sometimes, and somebody come and say, brother, that's a great message. Well, you're thankful that God did talk to somebody. But when you do check out God, he just poured the rain on the unjust and the unjust. God is selfish about rain. So, I mean, even a tear will get blessed when God pours out rain. So God is very liberal. God have a whole lot to give. And God is not selfish about blessings. But when God want prayer, I mean answers, then the person who knows, if I could get out of the way next time, it'd be far greater. And so by God's grace, we learn in our experience. I do believe that no eagle ever fly off the nest and say, Mama, look, you don't have to. Mama, you just relax. Watch me how I'll do it. I thought about this, you know, this nest for 4 weeks, and I feel I have it right. Give me some operating space, Mama. She'll hit the ground as fast as she can think. And so one of the things that God did bless us with was, a certain amount of contentment and unity. And these things is very important when you travel. You travel with saints, and some of them, you know, going to places they've never been before. And it takes a while to adjust. And sometimes you have to be bare with people and be patient. Because, you know, a man going into outer space, he might read books in space. He might think about being in space. He might be glad to wear the space suit. He might be glad to be chosen to be part of the space team and all these things. And then finally, they push you out into outer space, out of the shuttle, and you drop out there and you realize, you know, at first, am I really an astronaut? Am I, you know, is God going to confirm me? Is God going to stand by me? Or am I going to find that, you know, it is I who wanted this more than anything else? And I believe that in many of these areas, God have answered questions and given confirmations, and it has brought a strength on the inside of those who went, because they know that it was like a highlight in the experience and a junction time. They've been to Guyana, they've been to Tobago, they've been different places, they've been to Princess Tongan Cedrus, they've been different places where they, to South Carolina, and you know, it just, God bring it to a place. Now, I don't think where they went, they could get any bigger as far as you want a bigger stage or you want a bigger audience, and you want a people qualified to judge you, and you want an environment to know, do you have what it takes? Do you have the faith to believe God and to trust God? And I believe they have gotten one of the places that they can come back and know that I've been on the mountain. I've been on the mountain. I've come back and down in the little valley here, and I just want to just humble myself. I just want to say, Lord, you know, just make me more sincere and be a more faithful servant. I trust that is what has come back in the hearts of those who went. I trust they feel that way. They feel like coming back. They want to serve. They want to take up the responsibility in the assembly. They want to be involved in a way that they have not been involved before. Because this is the result of the success of the trip now. This is the achievement that what was achieved. If it's like, when is the next trip? When I'm going again? When I'm on the team? When I... Then we'll be missing the boat. But I believe that, you know, we can see that sometimes what it takes. Maybe, Lord, have I been sitting here giving my best? Have I been sitting here seeing things need to be done? Could I have been more involved? Could I have been more, make myself more available? Now I want to do that because I realize that the exposure, seeing the people around the world, being able to mingle with people, being able to talk to people, being able to hear the testimony of others, to hear the kind of conditions some serve God under, to see the places where some come from, to see some who might be less fortunate, but so much more determined in what the conditions they serve God under, then these things come to drive down in our hearts. Now we can see the things that we are responsible for here in the assembly, in the region, that we who would take an active part in a ministry would be able to function with that kind of commitment and that kind of effectiveness, and that now our experience is a little wider. The world is no longer small. We no longer on the nest, still in the nest, wondering about the world, but we're able to fly off the nest and realize that the world is bigger than the egg and bigger than the nest. It's a big world. And, you know, that has been one of the things for me, and to be able to take some of the saints out and give them exposure. I guess down through the years, the last 20 years or so, we have had maybe almost 2/3 of the church, I would think, who was able to travel one time or the other because of the ministry, because of being able to give them the invitation to travel, to have exposure, that people come to know them around the world. They come back home, they start to get letters, they start to get this, people start to write them, they start to make friends, they feel nice. But we don't get lost in those things. But we are thankful for friends, we are thankful for contacts, we are thankful for people. But that don't really help the cause of Christ if we just get in a little world like that. The exposure and the purpose of the exposure was that when we see what direction we are headed, when we understand a little better where God has placed us, when we see in a little deeper way the need that exists in the region, when we understand a little better why God has given us a church here, why he has made the facilities available, why he has given us a measure of the word, what things he has made us responsible for. In Matthew 25, he gave to his servants talents. The servants was his, the talents was his, and he was going to hold everyone accountable for the stewardship that he committed unto them. And there was a time came when he came back. He says, now, what have you done with what I've given you? And these are things that God spent months and months in the assembly here opening up to us, teaching us. It is not coming to church to hear a sermon. It is not coming to church to measure ourselves with other people's experiences. It is not coming to church to look down on the less unfortunate and get a superiority complex. It is becoming in a way to discover in a greater way what we are made responsible for by where we are placed and what has been given unto us and what kind of commitment it should bring into us. And that will help us understand a little better why he has passed us the way he has passed us, that we might be trained and developed to use what he has given in the way he intends it to be used, that the work he has made us responsible for would be accomplished. And it was great, and I certainly want to extend my appreciation for the saints who went and the way they conducted themselves, and they listened to some of you with your testimonies and the very conscious way that you testified, and I think that you truly were good ambassadors. I don't want to say great ambassadors. I say good ambassadors. Because it's good, better, and best. You have to improve. Next time you go out, it might be better. See, if you never went out, how could you say the first time you went out, you hit the mark? That's your own self-evaluation. That's the trap of this day. Because thou sayest. So, now to the congregation, that don't mean to say I'm putting them down, you know, I'm just trying to keep them humble. I'm just trying to tell them, don't think of yourself more high than you ought to think. Don't let success get to your head, is what I'm saying. But they were fine, they conducted themselves in a wonderful way, they were greatly loved and appreciated and blessed. And I just trust that when they go another place and people throw tomatoes at them and say evil things about them, then they'll be happy the same way too. Then they'll have the goods. Because it's nice when everybody can say nice things about you.
But remember, Jesus didn't say nice things about him all the time. But Christianity is not getting in the kind of atmosphere, you get disappointed when people say nice things about you. There's a reproach that goes with the word. And you serve God the same way when you've been reproached, because a servant goes where his master sends. And a servant is interested in serving his master, not in being successful. Remember, successful means getting the service done under whatever the condition was. Successful service don't mean 100 people came to the altar. God knew so much people are going to be saved, so he made the ark just so big. God knew Noah was going to be rejected. But it's whether Noah could take rejection for 120 years. It's whether Noah would not get discouraged and drop the hammer and finish the work. And be faithful regardless, as long as God wanted the witness given. That was the success. And how could a person have that success if they're taken up with himself? Remember, he had to face scoffers and mockers. But if he was thinking about his own self, he'd have dropped the hammer. But he was thinking about his master, who employed him in his service. Then, he didn't care what they say to him, because he wasn't to please them to begin with. He was to please his master. And that is what it is. And so I trust that God make greater servants out of them. And to you who didn't go, your service is no less, because it took greater service to stay, to pray, to hold the work together, to keep here what we have already possessed, that we don't lose it, to defend it, to guard it, even with less people and some of the key people absent. So that makes even the quality of your service even that much more greater. You read that in the Bible. David went on an expedition. Had to stay with certain things. Watch for this, watch for that. Moses went up in the mountain. Say, Aaron, her, you take care of this, you take care of that. You see about this, you have a problem, go to this one. And they did that. These things are put in the Bible because in our life and experience in the service of the Lord, we would come to those kind of times over and over. And that type of service must always be maintained. And so God knows just what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. I'll tell you more later on. I don't want to keep you too long tonight. As I said, I'm just trying to talk to you a little bit, get myself adapted back. My mind is spaced out, and I just came tonight because I know I didn't show up Wednesday night, and I want to know I'm here. I'm supposed to be leaving in 2 weeks again, you know that, to go to Ecuador, and almost the whole country there is going to be gathered together, and I'm going in there for meetings, and it's a great work that needs to be done there, and we have a lot of pots in the fire, things I see and things that happen outside, and you know, you just want to be in a place you can do your best for the Lord. That's about it. And you know, you do your best, and then you trust that it's acceptable, it's done in the way that would please him, and that he can use it in return to achieve what he desires to achieve by it. But in all, whatever the nature of our service unto the Lord, we want it to be in love, because love is the real motive of service. 1 Corinthians 12 tell about all the gifts, but 1 Corinthians 13 say, but I show you a more excellent way. Love is not easily provoked. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. And when a man can have what kind of gift, but if he go out there just interested in showing his gift, and he don't love the people he's serving, he don't go in the attitude of a servant, he don't have the spirit and the motive of that service to glorify God and to be a blessing to people, then the service becomes nothing. And that's why those things are put in the Bible for us, to know that that is what real service is before God and was accepted by him, and to all the officers in the assembly and to their ministers who helped and stood faithful at the responsibility. May God bless them for their faithful, loyal, and dedicated service. And knowing that we have one objective here is to see the work advance, to see the people become ready. And we say sometimes we get our vision shifted, but we want to keep it focused that here we are not on personalities, we are not on trying to make a name here. We're not trying to advance some human cause. We are trying to carry out the service of the Lord. And we all want to be involved. We all want to participate. And as I say, you know, it's been great. It's been powerful. It's been beyond what we could express. And is because it just tells you God is not subtracting. God is adding. As she nears the headstone, she'll be the super race. You have a green seed, and it's laying in the presence of the sun, and becoming ripen. Every time your seed is going to be more ripened. Every time you have an opportunity to exercise, it's going to develop more. Every time it matures a little more, it's going to be more effective. And that's what Christianity is. And this, if it's weak among you, it can't be powerful outside. If it's powerful among you, it's going to be powerful outside. And if you know the Holy Spirit and you can recognize the Holy Spirit and you know to prove something is the Holy Spirit, and as Paul say, if you yourself have the Holy Spirit, he said, then are you not his work in the Lord? If this church is a church that don't know where it's standing, don't know what it believes, don't know where it's going, don't know what to look for, don't know its season, don't know what is required, then could it go and do something for somebody outside? But if this church is established, if this church knows where it's going, if this church knows where they leave, if the church is not changing doctrine every 5 minutes, if this church is disunified and unorganized, and this church is not spirit-led, and this church is weak, and this church can't pray, and this church can't worship God, and this church can't surrender and sacrifice to God, then it means to say, this church is not qualified to send anybody anywhere. This church don't even have a ministry that can even go beyond the church doors. But if this church is established, then it means to say, how did it become so? See, then it means to say, what God has done for you, then God can take that same thing and do for somebody else. And that is what life is. That is what spiritual life is. And it is a great thing. And, you know, I'll tell you a little more, unless you want to stay here until 12 o'clock tonight. But I'll tell you a little more. But it's really nice to be involved in the service of the Lord. I think, the honest truth, I think if I was called as one to stay, I'd be right there in that seat. Every service, the same way. You know why? Because I'm going out there, not because I want to go, not because I like to go, not because I'm getting no special thing out there. When I come back and feel how I feel, and what it's taken me to come back out, by the time they get in the second service, I had 16 services. I was in 16 services already. By the time the saints who went to the second service, I was in 16 services already. I tell you. So, you see, it's different. And then when you leave in Vancouver, you're flying way up to Norway to a 9-hour difference and having to come off the plane and go straight to the service and then preach next day. And it had times I sit like that in the day and like somebody have dropsy, and it's like with all your mental power just to stay awake. From the time you lose a lapse in concentration, you fall asleep. And God has given the strength to go into the pulpit and preach, and then you see God come down there and move and among the people. You look at that, you know, could you say, is you doing that? You can't say, is you doing that. You can just be grateful that God, you know, you care for your people. When you see that, you see the people that you're preaching. You don't see yourself, you see the people that God care for them. That if God have to extend you sometimes, and maybe I put this blame on God, I shouldn't put this blame on God. I should maybe try to take better care of myself. But at the same time, that God would care for his people in that way to help them. And is really a wonderful thing. So as I say, you know, you call just to stay in that seat right there, to come here, be a work in the assembly right here, is important. We didn't cut out the parts, he cut out the parts. But the thing is that what I could say is, he that is faithful in the least will be faithful more. And he who says, well done, my good and faithful servant, don't just say to preachers, because preachers is just a part of it. Singers is just a part of it. If this church only had preachers and singers, we'd have been in bad shape. We'd have preached to the singers, and the singers would have sing to the preachers. And that's about it. And every other thing would have fallen to the ground.
We thank God for trustees. We thank God for deacons. We thank God for workers. We thank God for mothers. We thank God for fathers. We thank God for givers. We thank God for Liberians. We thank God for song leaders and musicians. We thank God for every brother and sister that comes here, and masons and carpenters and everybody else that whose contribution has caused this work to come to the place where it is. And that it can be recognized as a body of people that people can have confidence in. And if they think of a sick in the midst, they could say, would you all pray for us over there? Or they could call up and says, would you all join with us in prayer? Because they believe God is among you. And when you do that to the bride and you find people who have the same seven seals that we have, the same God who predestinated them, look at you and recognize that you are part of them, that speak volumes that your light is not under a bushel. And so people call to the church here, they look to the church as a group of us who are standing here, they see some who came on the trip, and they see them as a representation of the rest that they didn't see. And they don't think that those who come to the church, and they don't think that they're the most successful people in the church, and they didn't think that they were the best behaved people in the church, and they sure didn't think that they sacrifice and support the church the most. They knew that they just came in the capacity of singers. And that don't make them any more important than what designation they have in the assembly. And that don't make anybody who stay any less than those who went. Because we are the first ones to know it is your sacrifice, your giving, that made it possible for them to go. But to come back and to be here to take the place, it shows as a body we can achieve things together. It shows as a body we can work together. It shows we can pray for each other and consider each other. And it shows we have grown up from being selfish. It shows that when one rejoices, the rest rejoice with it. It shows even signs of maturity among us. And these are signs that our people is becoming ready for the coming of the Lord. So tonight as we close the service, we just want to bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer as we give God thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Father, how we appreciate you. No, without you, we can do nothing, Father. When we see great, mighty things wrought, Lord, it just humbles us. It makes us see, dear God, that what could we say, Father? Your prophet had an experience when he saw the scroll spoken to existence. As a man under the presence of the Holy Spirit, he knew that that had never happened. Not even in the very ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. The water was potentially wine, the bread, he only multiplied of creation. But when he saw that scroll cave that day, he walked off so humbled off that mountain. Such a deep, satisfied feeling. Because right there you showed to him, it wasn't him. It was the value of the blood of Jesus Christ. Through that experience, your death, burial, and resurrection became of greater value to him. It drove him, Lord, to a deeper humility. And so, Father, when we see you do great things, we don't want to come back just to make people feel that we are powerful to establish our persons in somebody's heart. But, Lord, just to be careful how we say things and to say it in a way that truly you would be glorified. And you'd be pleased knowing you stand there hearing us, Lord. You see in our hearts. And you know, Lord God, if we can tend to exaggerate so that we might still try to impress people, but that we, when we stand in your presence, knowing that we are naked before you and knowing we'll need your help in the next few moments, in the next few minutes, in the next few hours, in the next few days, in the next few weeks and months, should it tarry in the next few years. And which one of us, dear God, can think that we can make a step without you? Lord, we are thankful for everyone, because the success was not an individual success. It was a team success. Because it's the hour where we are living in is a body ministry, Lord. The body fitly joined and compacted together. The ones who stayed back and prayed. The ones who came faithfully. The ones who gave. The ones who was able to go. The ones who was able to help supervise things. The ones who had to bear greater strain. Oh God, how could we not think of all these? The entire assembly here. We give you thanks, Lord, for everyone and for everything that was done. And most of all for you, by whose power and might, by whose spirit it was done. Realizing that you would humble yourself to come and live in bodies of clay. There was one so sinful and vile and could not be cleansed except you shed your blood. But to show that you were so willing to shed your blood to cleanse these temples of clay, that you might come and make it a dwelling place. As the song says, for I was born to be thy dwelling place. But look what it costs us. Look what it costs you, Lord. And so we pray tonight, Lord God, you take our lives and you rededicate and reconsecrate it for your service. And you'd cause us to serve with greater love and greater humility, greater commitment, dear God. And Lord, you'd kind of reveal yourself to us and inspire greater faith to our hearts. And give us a greater consideration, greater concern for each other and for your work and for this region, dear God. That we, Lord, can rise up, Lord, and bear the responsibility that we feel the Spirit is entrusting upon us as a church, as a little group of people that you have dealt with down through these years and brought to this spot, prepared and making them instruments into your hands that you can accomplish your work. Granted, Father. May we not stand idle, but may we all be inspired to become more involved, young and old. Oh God, every one of us, as your prophet said, you could whistle. And that's all we can do. Let's consecrate that to your service. Whatever, how little, how big, makes no difference. It's what you can use it. We see Goliath come out with such a great history. All the armor he had, so finely made by every Philistine blacksmith. So clothed, oh God, until there was not a place. His defense seemed so fortified. David come out so ragged. Little old script bag and a few stones that he picked up from the brook. Until it made the giant disdain him and look at him with scorn. But God, he was willing to surrender what little he had. And you could have done with that little shepherd more than you could do that big theologian, Father. And so, dear God, we realize that sometimes a little church, few people, oh God, you can take and do more than what you can do the whole big organizational system. And so, Lord, we just want to come. Like a little boy, take that 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and put them in your hand. Think, oh God, how many food was scraped into baskets that day. Lord, scraped out in the garbage of the rich man's table. Think, oh God, Father, how many bread was baked in so many bakeries. How many people consume more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes that day in gluttony? But one little boy willing to surrender the little that he had. Lord, you fed up people, oh God, sitting in the presence of God, who was famished and who you were so concerned about that they would faint in the wilderness because they had not eaten for 3 days. You wasn't thinking about just preaching to them. And the great works that was being done, you was even thinking about sustaining them and nourishing them, Father. That was not too much of a small thing when you wrought that great miracle at the end of that service. And so, Lord, we realize as we see these things, we learn of you more and more, that we might know how to relate to you, might know how to serve you. Can you teach us your ways? Make real servants out of us. And take this little church here, Father. Take this little group of people and maybe be a lighthouse to shine for you in this hour. And Lord, as we leave this place tonight, go with us, that your peace and your blessing rest and remain and abide with each and every one of us. And I pray, dear God, that your people would live in courage, would live strength, Lord. Should you tarry and allow us life, Give us the opportunity to come back on Sunday morning. Lord, may you meet with us in a special way. Would you do that, Father? Lord, you know my mind tonight. I'm feeling a little spaced out and trying to stand and hold my thoughts together here to speak to your people. But I look to you, Lord, for strength and for help. And Lord God, you would give me that portion of your word, that grace might come to be ministered to your people. Bless all that stood so faithful, the ministers, the deacons, the trustees, the librarians, the musicians, the song leaders, their helps, the workers, Lord, everyone, every brother and sister, dear God. May not one be exempted in any way, Father. But may they all be blessed of you. And even them who went and have returned, may you bless them. And together, as your people, Lord, we come back to make ourselves available to you, Lord. Be it unto us according to thy word. All that thou sayest, that will we do. We thank you for being in your house tonight. We thank you for the time of prayer. All the prayers have been offered up unto you. Pray, O God, each and every one, every request will be met. Every need will be filled out by your Holy Spirit. As we go, take us safely to our homes. Watch over us. Take us back in peace and safety. We commit everyone into your hands. We thank you and we praise you for all things. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For I was born to be thy dwelling place. You have an announcement. The saints are reminded that Sunday, the 28th of July, 1996, is the deadline date for contribution towards the Sunday meal in the youth convention. So Sunday, the 28th, I think that is Sunday coming, is the deadline date for contributions towards the Sunday meal in the convention. You know, the convention is not just for the saints here, though it is in mind for the saints here alone. But we don't have no rights to have no convention for nobody beyond these walls. But many have come and many have let their people come, and they have found it to be a time of blessing and encouragement, and we try to make them feel welcome who come within our doors. Amen. But this convention is just for our people, really, because, you know, sometimes people try to give importance to a lot of these things, like if we have the commission from God to have a convention for the nation. We don't have that, and this is not a law. Who don't come is no less wrong than who come is right. You know what I'm saying? It's not a judgment rule. So sometimes, you know, things get expressed and people go along. Just like this meeting we went to in Canada, brothers asking me why this brother didn't come and why this one didn't come. And it shows right away people could get in a place, get under influence, and think that somebody's obligated to somebody. Nobody has the right. People are led by the Spirit of God to go anywhere. I went there because I feel led to preach. To go there and preach, I feel led to give my support and my help there and let the carry the saints and that kind of thing. But it's not like who didn't come to the meeting, you know, it's like something wrong with them. Please, when you get there, you get into prejudice, you get off the scripture, you give priority to things, you give importance to things beyond the realm that God has attached to it. You try to make things bigger than it really is. Let every man abide in the calling to his call. Let every man remain in the order in which God will place him. Let every man serve God in spirit and truth as God will lead him and guide him. And in the end, it'll be acceptable before God. One time the apostles thought that maybe anybody doing anything should come.